Hallelujah, sing with me, you are great. Oh, you are great, yes, you are. Holy One, walked upon the sea, you raised the dead. You reign in majesty, almighty God. Oh, everything written about you. The sea.
Desire and and I long to worship you. Yes, I long to worship, worship you. Alla dulce cara da basha, mande bocosi che allo dovo stava. Who is like you, Lord? Who is like you, my God? No one, Lord. Sota yala baka, shadu musi kialo do baka. Jesus. Sovereign Lord, how awesome you are. There is no one like you. When we survey the wondrous cross on which you, the Prince of Glory, died, Lord, it matters not what we give. Nothing matches. And we surrender our souls, our lives, our all to you. And still, it doesn't match. What can a pauper give to a great king that owns all things? What is it that we can give to you that will ever match the love that you have for us? Father, we surrender ourselves to you. And we testify, O God, this day, in this place, that you are worthy, O God, of all glory, all praise, all worship, all adoration. For Lord, the value that you've given to us, you said it's more than this whole world. For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The value you placed on us is beyond things. You took us nobodies, and you placed upon our lives the very value of God. For it is the price of God that purchased us. Father, thank you for your everlasting love. Nothing can reduce the value that you've placed upon us. And so, Lord God, we magnify you in our worship. We say, Lord, have your way and do with us that which is right in your sight. Love you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. As dirty panted for the waters, so my soul longer after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength and my shield. You alone may my spirit praise you, Jesus. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You're my friend and you're my brother. God, we serve is an awesome God. As Mama continues to lead us in this time of prayer, just stay focused. For God will do great things to us and with us today.
Father, we welcome you. We thank you that you're here. Even before we came, you were here, waiting for us to lift our hands before you, to magnify your name, to bless your holy name. Abba, Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this wonderful day you have made for us to rejoice and be glad in it. A day of salvation, a day of peace, a day of joy, a day of love, power, and a sound mind. A day of victory and success. A day of continuous joy and rejoicing before you. Lord, we bless your holy name. Thank you for our lives, our families, our nation, our cities, our neighborhood. And Lord, you've been leading us, coming and going. You've been with us. So we bless you, Almighty God. We are thankful. This is a day of healing and resurrection life. Everything good you have made for us today. God, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever. We bless your holy name. Can you say that with me? God, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever. Continuously have mercy on me and my household. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for everyone in the service, that today their mind will be alert, focused on you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. For the words you speak, they are spirit and life. Thank you for everyone from age 120 plus to zero, those in seed form in the womb, you are touching their lives right now. And they are walking before you, pure and holy, healthy and blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Turn your Bible to Proverbs 25. You can read 24 at home at your own time. Proverbs 25. I've encouraged you, try to read a proverb a day, add that to your daily scripture reading, and you will be wise. You know what and what not to do in your life. Say amen. All right, Proverbs a day. All right, Proverbs 25. It's not much to read. And we can start reading. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the living God. As you read, may the word be imprinted in your heart. May it cleanse you, may it heal you, may it restore you, may it bless you. And may it take care of every enemy of your life. In Jesus' name. All right, let's read. These also Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Are there kings in this house? So you search out what God wants you to know. If it has to be healing, search out the scriptures on healing. If it has to be finance, search out the scriptures on finance. If it has to be family, search out the scriptures on family. If it has to be children, marriage, you name it. Job, search them out. It is your honor to search them out. Don't wait for pastors to search it out for you. Or your Sunday school teacher, it's your responsibility. Somebody say, it's my responsibility. And then you get honor. When God honor you, you are lifted up. So you want to get out from the position you are in and go higher? Search out the word of the Lord. Verse 3, the heaven for height, the earth for depth, the heart of kings is unsearchable. Somebody shout hallelujah. When you begin to search the word of God, people cannot read you. They try to read you. They think you're coming this way. You've gone the other way. You will always elude your enemies. Say amen. Verse 4, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Say amen. Say amen. Say amen. Most of you don't see yourself as king. We are seated where? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where are you sitting? You're sitting with the Lord in the throne room. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Say, take away. God will take away the wicked. But you speak to the wicked, get away from me. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. You don't uproot those wicked, you will always have a fallen throne. May your throne, may where God has put you to sit, be in righteousness. Say amen. Nobody will push you out of the place God has put you. Verse 6, put not thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. Well, if you are a king, that is not your problem. But if you are not one, it becomes a problem. The security will come and move you out of place. But if you belong, nobody there, you have your own entourage of security. That means you get your own entourage of angels. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody say amen. For better it is. The scripture is talking about physical king, but because the Bible also says you are kings, so that's you. Say amen. It says the kingdom of God is made of what? Kings and priests. So that's it. So if you are in the kingdom, you are one of those. Or you function in two, in both of them. King David was a king and priest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Jesus is king and priest. So if he's in you, You have both. Say amen. Verse 4. Verse 7. For better it is that it be said unto thee, come up hither, than thou shouldst put lower in the presence of the prince whom thy eyes have seen. So learn to humble yourself. Now it's talking about natural places. You go to a place you know you are not, they did not reserve a seat for you, and you can see reserved there, and you know that's for special people. And then you just walk in there and say, well, pastor said I'm a king, so I just walk in there. Well, the ushers and the security will come and haul your butt to the back, and everybody will be looking at you. So we're talking about we are spirit, we are soul, and we are body. We have spiritual realm, we have natural realm. Say amen. You don't go to your workplace and you go and sit on the chairman's seat or the president's seat. You'll be fired. You say, I'm a king, so that's my seat. How dare you there? You know? Well, how dare you there? How dare you out? So you got to learn some of these things. Sometimes we are Christians, we are not foolish people. We are wise people. Know how to carry yourself and conduct yourself. Say amen. If you sit at the back and the front seat belong to you, they'll bring you and sit you there. Many times we've gone to many places, we just want to stay at the back and just enjoy, and nobody knows we're there. You know what? Sometimes I've seen right from the parking lot, as we're walking in, the pastor have seen us and sent protocol to come and get us. We just finished settling and sitting and fell back to front. You need to humble yourself and God will put you exactly where you belong. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. God does the lifting. Stop lifting yourself. Did we finish verse 7? Verse 8. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thy infamy turn not away. Verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Don't be a tattletaler or just be talking about people. Pray for people. Say amen. When you say the right word at the right time, it says like what? Apples of gold in pictures of silver. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Rebuke, when you rebuke people and they're willing to hear, then that is good. But when you rebuke them, they are not willing to hear, they turn against you. Verse 13, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Verse 14, whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. So we've said not to lift ourselves. We don't boast of ourselves. We boast of the living God. Verse 15, by long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. So have a soft tongue in Jesus' name. You know, you can have a soft tongue, but you can also have a bad tone. So your tone and your tongue, everything, just ask God to ordain it. There are some people who talk very softly, but in that softness, they have a very wicked tongue, a tone behind it. And then there are some people who just shout and they don't have a wicked tone. So either way, ask God to touch your tone and touch your tongue. Say, Lord, touch my tongue, touch my tone. Say amen. Verse 16. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. So too much honey will cause you to vomit. So Eat it, it's good for you, but not too much. Honey will make you wise. That's what the Bible says. So if you lack wisdom, start eating honey, but don't eat the whole jar, you will be sick. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't know where peanut butter is coming from right now. So, you know, some people like to lick peanut butter, a tablespoon of it. Why don't you just have a quarter teaspoon of honey? It's the same thing. It's better than peanut butter. But peanut butter is also delicious if you like it. And if you don't like it, it's a different story. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 17, withdraw thy food from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. Don't go there every day and disturb your neighbor. And you go, they walk you to the door. You are still there. You put one leg on the door so the door doesn't close. And you yak and you yak, and your neighbor is already having a headache. Don't go do that all the time. After a while, they see you coming, they lock their door, they turn off their light. So, verse 19, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Somebody say amen. So you need to start praying for our neighbors as the election is coming so that they don't put their confidence in an unfaithful man but in the Lord. Say amen. And for us also, 20. As he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon nitre, so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. Verse 21, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. Somebody shout hallelujah. So we should take care of our enemy when they are hungry and when they need a drink. But if your enemy come and say, you feed me 24/7 for the rest of my life, then that's not what God is asking you to do. Bible says, if you don't work, don't do what? If you don't work, don't eat. Since I was young and now I'm old, I've never seen the what? Righteous forsaking, nor his seed begging for bread. So you don't read this scripture and say, oh, you're supposed to feed me all the time, give me drink all the time. So I must be in the welfare system all the time. No, you get a balance as children of God. Say amen. Verse 22, for thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. So God already knows that's a troublemaker. But God says, feed them anyway and give them a drink. I'll deal with them. Verse 23, the north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance and a backbiting tongue. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. Somebody say, Lord, have mercy. Amen. I'll say that sometimes it's not only a brawling woman, sometimes you have a brawling man. So whether a man or a woman, say, Lord, have mercy. Verse 25, as cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Good news is always good news. Verse 26, a righteous man falleth down before the wicked as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. A righteous man, let's read that again. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. So you, the righteous, you will never fall before the wicked. In the name of Jesus. 27, it is not good to eat much honey. So for men to search their own glory is not glory. We talked about that before. So you've read it now. Don't eat too much what? Honey. 28, he that had no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. May God grant you rule over your spirit. The decision is always yours. The choice is yours. Father, we have read your holy word. Let it begin to work on us now. Work on our spirit, soul, and body. Work on our lives, our families. Work on our church, our city, our nation, our leaders. In the name of Jesus, work on our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, our parents. Lord, we lift everyone we're praying for before you this morning. All our school trustees, federal government leaders, province of Manitoba, chief of police, fire chief, and civic leaders, minister the same grace to them. Let your word begin to stir them, that they will turn their lives to you, Lord. For righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is the reproach. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the nation of Israel. Pray for her palaces, her walls. Lord, let there be peace again. Peace, peace to Jerusalem. In the mighty name of Jesus. So remember your everlasting covenant to our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let that same blessing be upon Canada. For out of Abraham, all nations shall be blessed. So we receive that blessing for Canada, for Nigeria, United States of America, Japan, all First Nations of the world, Fisher River First Nations. In the mighty name of Jesus, receive the same blessing upon Glory and Peace Church International, upon Apostle Mike and Pastor Maria Fizino and family, all our children, biological, spiritual, partners, and extended families. Receive the same blessing on Maurice Cerullo World Evangelism Legacy Center, upon Mama Teresa Cerullo and family and the team, and Lord, upon Keith Moore Ministries, Pastor Keith and Pastor Phyllis Moore and family. Receive it upon the ministers of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, receive it also for Pastor Barbara, also, and his family, as he has served you, Lord, in this nation, and he's gone home to glory for his reward. Comfort his family, and comfort all those that mourn. Comfort the Hammond's family. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we receive the same blessing upon Brother Byron Hammond and all the audio and video department leaders. Minister grace to them. Thank you for their lives. Thank you, God. We receive this. So, Sister Catherine Cramble and her family. Upon Sister Lisa Cramble and her family also. Minister grace to every one of them. Strengthen them also. In the mighty name of Jesus. Receive the same blessing upon Sister Colette Walker-Stewart and her family and her legal practice. Minister the same grace to her. Receive the same blessing upon Fort Freight and Logistics, Brother Adrian and Sister Shana Efezino and family. Blessing of the Lord make rich and add no sorrow. Thank you for prospering the business and prospering every member of Glory and Peace Church businesses. Lord, we thank you for everyone here. Whether your name is listed or not, may your name be written in the book of life. And may you walk with God. Follow him all your days. Those that are sick, we declare you healed. Bible says by his stripes you were healed. So we send our word to you now. Be healed, be restored, be made whole in your body, in your mind, in your finance, in your relationship, in every aspect of your life. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, receive our thanksgiving offering, our tithes and our offering. Lord, receive our worship. And Lord, bless the word of the Lord as we open up our heart to receive your word. Let it come with power, with grace, with favor, with mercy, truth, deliverance, and wholeness. And bless those who will run with your word. Bless the carrier of the word, the giver of the word, and the receiver of the word. And those who will publish your word by telling somebody, Jesus saves and Jesus loves them. In Jesus' mighty name we declare so. Amen. God bless you.
Thanks. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to see you all here today. I'm thankful to the Lord for the sufficiency of his grace that is establishing every one of us. The purposes of God are eternal. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. The purposes of God are eternal. I'll say it a third time. The purposes of God are eternal. So whatever it is that God has purposed, he doesn't change because he knows exactly what he wants. And he does what needs to be done. And tonight, or this morning, I want to declare that divine purpose concerning you, concerning your family, concerning my family, concerning this church, will come to pass. Amen. And nothing can stop it. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have a promise from the Lord that he is going to establish his covenant. Yes. Hallelujah. And I want to continue with that trend of thought this morning. When we started talking about this particular subject, we started out talking about the beginnings of the manifestations of that promise or covenant that God made to Abraham, and how God said to Abraham, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless the whole earth by you. But then also told them about the issues that were going to face his children, how they were going to be in a place that was not their place, strangers in a foreign land, and how they were going to be in bondage and afflicted for 400 plus years. Now, when that statement was made, I'm sure that Abraham wondered, why is this going to happen to me? Can't it just come easier? And many times we're faced with the same kind of situation where we want to celebrate the blessings of God, but don't want the challenges that sometimes come with that blessing. Salvation for you and I was not possible without a cross. The blessing is not without challenges. Please hear that. The blessing is not without challenges, but the blessing will supersede any challenge that you will ever face in your life. And that is the truth of God. Challenges do come. Any minister of the gospel that tells you that now that you're a Christian, you will not have challenges, is lying to you. The anointing comes with challenges. Because the oil comes out of the crushing. But the oil comes. I don't care whether you gave birth to a child naturally or it was by C-section, it comes with some kind of pain. But when you see the child, the pain dumps down because you're celebrating the manifestation of that which was once hidden. The blessing of God will be made manifest. Amen. And not only is the blessing made manifest, the blesser is made manifest. I declare that those that God has assigned to be a blessing in your life, to move you from point A to point B, that in the name of Jesus Christ, that they be manifested now at supersonic speeds. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Whoever God has assigned to cause me to come into my fullness,
I dispatch them now by the authority of the word of God to move, and to move with supernatural speed. And whoever God has called me to be a blessing to, I declare now that by supernatural, supersonic speeds, that I move to be there, to be what God says I should be for them, in Jesus' mighty name. That means everybody got to move at supersonic speed now. Glory be to God. Speed up. Hallelujah. Speak to your neighbor and say, speed up. It's time. Move it. Hallelujah. Don't start moonwalking like Michael Jackson going backwards. Hallelujah. Might be a good looking dance, but that's not the way we want to go. We don't want to go backwards. We want to go forward. Glory be to God. The Bible tells us how that Joseph, who was going to be the blessing to Israel, was attacked. How he was harassed, how he was sold into slavery, how he was disappointed by so many things happening in his life, and it seemed like he was taking one step forward and two steps backwards. But whatever it was that was happening in his life, he was moving towards the targeted point that God had for him. He started out as one who was dreaming dreams. But then God moved him to the place where he was interpreting dreams. You cannot come into your fullness until you start interpreting other people's dreams. Please hear what I just said. If you miss that, you've missed too much. You cannot come into your fullness until you begin to interpret other people's dreams. It is not enough for you to dream a dream about your life and what God wants for you. You've got to come past that place to begin to help others find their destiny and come into their fullness so that you can come into your fullness. The fulfillment of God's covenant promises in your life is embedded in you bringing about the fulfillment of other people's destiny. That's why we serve each other. That's why we help each other. That's why we give into each other's lives, to make sure that somebody's dream, somebody's desire, somebody's aspiration in life is accomplished. And child of God, let me say something. Those are not things that you need to pray about. When you know that you need to help somebody, help them. Stop. Let me pray about it first. No. Just start doing what you're supposed to do. And if God doesn't want you to do it, he will stop you. Let me say that again. If God doesn't want you to do anything there, he will what? Stop you. But when you are moving to be a blessing and God is not holding you back, go supersonic speed. Do what you got to do and quickly. Don't wait. If it is in your hand to help, don't tell the person to wait. Just do it. Hallelujah. Just what?
Do it.
Do it. It's important. And you don't necessarily have to broadcast everything that you're doing. If you start broadcasting everything that you're doing, then you've gotten your rewards already. There are so many things Mama does and so many places that she gives into, so many lives that she gives into, I'm clueless about.
I say, you did what? You gave what? There's so many things that I do that she doesn't know about. Just give. Because it's a private issue. There's so many things that you have given to that you don't even have a clue about. You don't. Because we don't have to have a board to discuss everything. We have a board, but it's not to discuss everything that we're going to give into. It's about just giving, being a blessing. And then there will be a manifestation. Praise the Lord. Because what your right hand is doing, don't let the left know. Or what the left is doing, don't let the right know. Do you understand? Hallelujah. But your purpose is to see the manifestation of God's will. Now, so Joseph was doing his thing. And after 2 years, or maybe about the first or so year, the second half of the dream that he interpreted started happening. Now his father and his brothers are in a crisis situation. Jacob hears about the food that was in Egypt, and he sends his brothers there, and Joseph recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. He dealt harshly with them because he was trying to flush out their mindset, whether they were together, and let's move the story forward, and how he held on to one of the brothers so that he can find out whether his brother Benjamin was around. And when they brought Benjamin, he finally gave them food and blessed Benjamin 5 times more than he had given to the other brothers, you know, and so on and so forth. How they hid the cup and how they brought Benjamin back, and how Judah cried out and said, listen, take me instead. Are we up to snuff yet? The Bible finally tells us in chapter 45 of the book of Genesis that Joseph finally revealed himself to them. It says in chapter 45, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. There stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Made himself known to his brethren. Told them, it's me. I'm Joseph. It says, and he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? His brethren could not answer him. They were quiet. They were hushed. They were dumbfounded. May the revelation of God's grace on your life cause those that were against you to shut up. Because they cannot understand how it is that you're not dead. And if you're not dead, they cannot understand how it is that you, that was sold to be a slave, you are now the number one man in the land that you were sold as a slave to. This is what is shocking them. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that your life will be a shocker to every enemy. Amen. What's happening? What's happening? What's going on here? Joseph? No, it's not possible. It's not possible that you that knew nobody in the land that we're selling you to, you can be right here and everybody is bowing down and celebrating you. No, it's not possible. Come on. No, it's not possible. Are you kidding me? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. No, it's not possible. Come on. Are you kidding me? No. You can imagine all that was going inside of their minds. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come, come near to me. Come near to me, I pray you. And he came near and he said, I am Joseph. Your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt, so that you know that I am he. Come. Close enough. I am Joseph. And so that you know that I am he, let me tell you something about what you did to show to you that I'm the real one, because nobody else knows this but you and me. You sold me as a slave into Egypt. Do you remember that? Ah. You are either a prophet to know this, or you the real deal. Well, this is what's going to happen. Are you listening? This is what's going to happen. God is going to use you and I in incredible ways to speak to people the secret things in their hearts. Something that nobody else knows but them. So that they can say, just like Nathaniel, Nathan said of the Lord, ah, Jesus said, I saw you under the tree. I saw you under the tree. And the guy says, huh? How is it possible? I was way out there. Says, is that all? You're going to see angels. That God is going to bring the hearts of people before you. You can tell them what's happening in there so that they can recognize this got to be God. This got to be God. They recognize. And Joseph said, come near, and told them, you sold me. The Bible says in verse 5, now therefore be not grieved. I didn't tell you this to condemn you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I didn't tell you what I just told you to condemn you. You can be here today, this morning, wherever it is that you're listening, and I might say something that strikes dead center into your heart. And you know, okay, this got to be God. I've had situations, you know, here in different parts of the world, and as I'm ministering, somebody asks a question in their spirit. They didn't voice it out. And as soon as they're asking that question, I am answering it. You say, hope? What was that? God. But it's never to cause you to be condemned. It's just to bring you to an awareness that God cares. When God reveals something about you, it's not about condemnation. It's about, I care about you and I want the best for you. Too many people walk around feeling condemned. Oh, Pastor, you know, started preaching today and he said this and said that. I better take off from this place because what else does he know? No, that's not the point. And I've had those people too. Start talking and start reading their book, reading all their files. They say, I better leave this place. What else does he know about me? That's not the point. The point is, God doesn't want you to live in the world of condemnation and be grieved. He just wants you to know, I know you, but I still love you. Because God is not willing that anyone come into a state of condemnation. Neither do I condemn you. Hallelujah. Are we on the same page? Therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. For God did not send me before you. For God did send me before you to preserve life. God sent me before you to preserve life. You meant it for evil, but God was involved in it. God was involved in it. Now, don't take what I'm about to say to you wrongly for your own demise, but take it with the wisdom of God to know that God really cares. I'm going to skip ahead and I'm going to read you something from chapter 49. And it might be strange that I'm reading this to you at this point, but I have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 49 and verse 5. It says here, Simeon and Levi are brethren. This is Jacob blessing his sons. And it says about Simeon and Levi, it says, Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. Doesn't sound like a blessing, does it? O my soul, come not thou into their secret. Unto their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united. This is sounding like more like a curse than a blessing. For in their anger, they slew a man, and in their self-will, they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Now, that doesn't sound like no blessing at all. But I want you to notice that there are two names there, Simeon and who? Levi. Levi. He just got a curse. But he's going to be the family of the Levites.
Are you kidding me? The Levites, these are the ones who are going to be carrying the ark, serving in the kingdom, in the tabernacles of God. Are you serious? Ay, ay, ay. What kind of a God is this? Don't abuse the mercies of God. But this I want you to know, God is a merciful God. Amen. God's mercy overrides judgment. And wise men and wise women will, one, not abuse it, and two, embrace it. Say, I am a total mess. I blew it again. Yesterday I said I was not going to do it, and today I messed it up again. And God is saying, before you messed up, I knew it. I love you. Will you accept my love? Will you hold on to me so I can take you past where you are to where you ought to be? Too many people do not trust God. They try to hide from God and build their leafy aprons and think they're doing something. No, the right thing to do is run to God, not run away from God. Run to God. That's how he establishes his covenant towards you. I am God. I lie not. Hallelujah. Run to God. Don't be running away from God. Run to him. He's your peace. He's your strength. He's your buckler. He's your deliverer. He's your joy. Hallelujah. Back to 45. Don't be angry with yourself. Don't get grieved and all, feeling all condemned. For God did send me before you to prepare or to preserve life. For these 2 years had the famine been in the land. It's been 2 years now. And yet there are 5 years and of which there shall neither be Aaron nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. It was not you that disappointed me. It was not you that failed to support me. It was not you. It was not you. You thought you were the one, but no, God was in it all. Who will really know a David without Goliath? Who? Here is David busy playing his harp and calming Saul and getting all those demonic interactions to seize in the life of Saul, and he's been doing it. And when David finally sees Saul in person, Saul says, whose son is this? Doesn't even recognize him. You can be busy serving in a particular place and you think everybody knows me, and nobody knows you.
They don't know you. But God brings a Goliath, and all of a sudden, Saul slain his 1,000, and David his 10,000. In one quick swoop, one thing can change your story. Somebody say, Lord, change my story. You thought you sent me here, but no, God did. I'm here because of God. But I'm not just here because of God. I'm here because of you, to preserve your posterity. So don't go about blaming yourself. And, you know, there's so many things that have happened in my life through the years. And I can go back and say, if that person had not done such and such, I will not have experienced such and such. I wouldn't have met this person. I wouldn't have connected with this person. This thing wouldn't have happened in my life if it were not for this disappointment, because this person said this, or because this person tried to hurt me, or this person tried to disappoint me. And in the process of them doing all of that, God brought me here. Thank God for enemies. Yeah. Sometimes you really need to just, I thank you, Lord, for the enemies. Because sometimes it's your enemy, your challenge, that makes you great. They thought they were trying to reduce him to nothing, and they thought they were trying to make certain that those dreams that he dreamt will not come to pass. But in all of their attempts, they were moving him closer to the fulfillment of the dream. I say in the name of Jesus Christ that every harassment, every attack of the enemy against your life to try to separate you from the fulfillment of the divine purpose of God for your life, move you closer to the fulfillment of that purpose in Jesus' mighty name. You know what that makes you? Makes you a happy camper. It makes you to rejoice. Hallelujah. Count it all joy. Is that what the Word of God says? Yes. Count it all joy when you're going through all kinds of stuff. You're going through it. I think I'm due a new connection here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The devil's a liar. Don't buy into his lies. Don't buy into it. All things work together for my good. All things work together for your good. Do you believe that? Then stop complaining all the time. Stop. One of the wisest things you can do is stop complaining. Look at how bad this is. Look at how bad that is. You know, there are people today who may be complaining and griping about COVID. Thank God for COVID. Because of COVID, I've preached in places I've not preached at. I've reached more people during this time of COVID than I've reached all through the years. Because of COVID, maybe within the next few weeks, I'm going to be doing a crusade in Pakistan from Winnipeg. Because of COVID. No one going to complain about COVID? No. Pastor, but people died. I know. May they rest in peace. But in the midst of all of that, God can do extraordinary things in your life. Do you understand? There's this age-old adage. When life serves you lemons, make what? Lemonade. Yeah. Lemon juice. Okay. We whatever. When life comes at you, rather than spending the time complaining, stop. Take a breath and say, God, this did not come to you by surprise. I may have been surprised, but this is not a surprise to you. And I know you have worked all the details out. What is my next step? What is my next step? Problems generate creativity. Do you agree with that? Yeah. So when you face a situation, listen, there are some problems that you and I are facing that are business ideas. But we spend time complaining about it and we miss out on the business. Oh, my Lord. You had a great business idea and you complained through it. But it was a problem. And if you only found a solution to that problem, you would have created a business, because that problem that you're facing is common to all. And God provides a way of escape. Sometimes your problem is your blessing. Oh God, prosper me. Father, prosper me. Make me a blessing. God, prosper me. In the name of Jesus, I give you my tithe. I give you my offerings. God, prosper me. And then a problem hits you. You say, oh, I give my tithe. I give my offering. I've got problems. I will not give again. I will not give again. If you only slowed down for a moment, maybe God just allowed you to see a problem that's a business idea. And if you stop complaining and wipe those chairs off, you will see clearly to see, ah. Hello? You're doing a contract. The contract faces some complications. Now you're thinking about how much money you're going to spend to fix that problem. Meanwhile, God is giving you a solution to a problem that every other person is having. And if you come with a solution to solve this problem, you will now be making money because you have the answer for everybody else. Look at somebody bent some had problems with putting paper together and folded a metal piece, and now we have a staple. And somebody's making money because everybody wants to buy staples. There's even a business called Staples. Are we listening? You mean believers can have an answer from the Lord? And that sometimes those answers come through the problems that we're facing? Blessings don't always come in the guise of good things. blessings sometimes come in the guise of bad stuff. It takes king to search out the matter. Is that what we read? King search out the matter. May we, as kings and priests in the kingdom of God, search out matters and bring solutions to people. There is a world out there that's looking for solutions. One of the prayers I've been praying recently is, God, there is something I believe that may just be beyond the internet. Download it into believers. Hallelujah. We need solutions so that we are not held captive by those who are running social media today. There is somebody that God can download an answer into and create something that cannot be controlled by them. And it can happen with us. We have COVID. This is the time for somebody to, with supernatural grace, come up with a way to create holograms all over the place. I remember so many years ago, the Lord told me, He said, the day is coming when you are going to be in one place and you'll be in another place at the same time, and people will be seeing you at that new other place like you were there live. I said, how is that possible? He said, holograms. I said, holograms, what's that? I had to go check the dictionary to find out what a hologram was. And now, you know, the church can miss it. Because we've got the technology that will be able to give us holograms just like that. When they're coming up with 5G, the church is busy complaining about 5G is going to kill everybody. No. No. Because our bodies are not going to be conducive for any viruses or anything that the enemy wants to generate to create problems. No, no, no. It's not going to create a problem for me. Yes. I am going to be here. And not tail, above only, and not beneath. In all of the confusion, the blessing shall come forth. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Somebody listening. Joseph is answering. He said, Pastor, all of this is coming from the story of Joseph. Yes, it's coming from there. God sent me before you to preserve you, posterity, in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. By a great deliverance. God, use us in these last days to bring about a great deliverance. Hallelujah. Deliverance. Because we are agents of change. Agents that bring about solution. Hallelujah. There's something that you've learned in physics, in mathematics, in chemistry. Learned working somewhere that can be of great help. So now it was not you that had brought me hither, but God, and He had made me a father. He had made me a father. He's a young man, but says, God has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house. I am Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. I am in charge. Your brother is in charge. So don't worry. I don't need nothing from you. If you had not tried to kill me, I would not have experienced this new life. So let me thank you. You thought you were going to mess me up, but you set me up for good. Hallelujah. 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 Let that be your testimony. Let that be my testimony. Let that be the testimony of Glory and Peace Church. And this ministry, all the ministries that are in this house. Hallelujah. Testimony of God's goodness. The enemy thought, oh, he's going to mess my life up. Oh, no. But this thing that he tried to do really set me up for a greater assignment. Verse 9. I'm going to stop shortly, but I want to look at verse 9 and verse 10. There's no way I'm going to be able to cover this whole narrative today or in the next few weeks. He says, "Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God had made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me. Tarry not." Hurry. Your son is in charge. I'm also in charge of Pharaoh himself. He thinks he's the boss, but really I'm the boss. Oh, my. Verse 10 is key. The key verse. Doesn't sound like it, but this is key. You've got to declare where you're going before you get there. If you keep on prophesying or speaking death into your life, that's where you're going to get. And let me tell you something right now. Your prayers cannot change your words. Let me say that again. Your prayers cannot change your words. Say it a third time and I'll explain. Your prayers cannot change your words. If you are speaking death into your life consistently, death, 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 confusion, 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 and then you start praying to remove the confusion, it does not work that way. You're praying to remove the confusion. It's not going to remove the confusion if you are constantly declaring confusion in your life. You eat out of the abundance of your words. You'll be satisfied with the words of your mouth. Prayers will only change your words when your words change. Prayers will only change your words when your words what? Change. You must speak your future before you get there. So he says, and thou shalt dwell in the land of where? Did he talk to Pharaoh yet? No. He just revealed himself to his brothers. But he's prophesying where they're going to go. And that's what you need to do in your life. Declare where you're going. When I came here this morning, at about 7 a.m., something like that, between 7 and 7:30, I was saying certain things to the Lord about where I am going. I was declaring it. I was saying those things ahead
Because that's what I want to see. Hallelujah. Now, what I was saying, while I was saying it, my mind wanted to tell me, are you kidding me? Are you serious? You think that's going to happen? And I kept on saying what I was saying. I just kept on saying it. But, okay, so you want it in this place? I said, yes. But I thought you wanted it over there. I said, I want it here, and I want it there, and I want it there, and I want it there. The same thing. Well, you got to declare your Goshen before you get there. Thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. You're all going to be near me. Incredibly, oh my. When he chose that land of Goshen, there was something else that he knew. He knew that his father and his brothers handled cattle. And he also knew that the Egyptians didn't care for cattle. They didn't like, they looked down on shepherds. So he picked up a land, and this is so God. This is partly why God sent them to Egypt. Because he knew the Egyptians will not attach themselves to these shepherds. They will look down at them, and therefore will not assimilate them into their... If I send them there, the Egyptians will keep on pushing them away. Even when the Israelites want to join with them, the Egyptians will be pushing them away. That's how they are going to push you away, because they say, that's a Christian. We don't want anything to do with you. But while they are pushing you away, you are going to be growing. Did you hear what I said? Yes. While the world is going to try to push us away, we are going to be expanding. Amen. We are going to be bigger. Amen. We are going to experience greater things. Amen. Finally, I like this. I like this. I can't go to the verses right now, but just read from chapter 45 to 50, just five chapters. And I'll help you come into deeper levels of it. Finally, Pharaoh and the Egyptian. Is Pharaoh an Egyptian? Good. They don't like shepherds. They don't like cows. Okay. Guess what Pharaoh did? Pharaoh went and got some cows. The one who didn't like cows got some cows and says to Joseph, get me somebody who knows how to take care of this kind of business. Now he... You mean God is going to create businesses for you? Things are changing. I say things are changing. Yeah. Stop complaining. Open your eyes and see. There are business opportunities being generated right now. Open your eyes and see. There are gospel opportunities being generated right now. Open your eyes and what? See. Touch your eyes. Put your hands on your eyes and touch your head at the same time. That shouldn't be too hard. Hallelujah. Say, Lord, open my eyes
to see what you have available. Touch my mind so I can think like you do. I have the mind of Christ. Let that mind of Christ be activated now so I can walk victoriously, blessed to be a blessing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. Well, we'll stop there today, and we'll continue tonight, possibly. But we'll keep on going. Hallelujah. God is good. Well, at this time, we're going to honor God with our tithes, with our offerings. And as I've encouraged you, listen to the instruction of the Lord. Hear from God and do accordingly. God has given so much to you, not so that you can build a big fat bank account, and that's good. But God has given to you so you can sow it. And in sowing it, His word says He will multiply your seed sown. God wants to increase you and I. May I encourage you to stop tipping God. Make a decision in your spirit about what your minimum is. If God doesn't speak to me about giving anything, I cannot give less than this amount in any service. Make that decision. When you make that decision, you set yourself up for greater opportunities. Amen? You set yourself up for greater opportunities. We cannot remain the same year after year after year after year when God has increment on His mind for every one of us. Praise the Lord. So today, when you come to give to the Lord, if you've not done so already, do it very deliberately. And maybe you've given already, and the Lord is saying, that's not what I asked you for. I want more. Then honor God. He will not be upset because you gave more. Hallelujah. He will be cheerful. I want God to be cheerful. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Amen? So let us come, honor God with our giving. And if you don't have your elements, then raise your hand and an usher will bring one of your elements to you right away. Thank you. pressed out, running over.
Passover meal, Jesus broke bread, blessed it, and called it his body. He took wine, blessed it, and called it his blood. That was before the cross. There's somebody else who did this early. Jesus died for two things: to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us, and also that the blessing of Abraham would come upon us. Jesus showed up as Melchizedek and blessed bread and wine and gave it to Abraham. God spoke things that Abraham should fulfill. They did not happen until he took bread and wine from Melchizedek. As you take this bread and wine today, the body and the blood of Jesus, there are things God has spoken to you and your family that has not come to pass yet. You can put a demand so that they will be made manifest in the name of Jesus. Take of this. If you are sick, this is the time to say, I'm healed. If you are struggling, this is the time to say, my struggles are over. So learn to confess. I can confess for you. Speak with your own mouth. If you have sin in your heart, ask God to forgive you. Don't take communion when there is sin. You must always repent. Bible says many have abused this and they slept early. So if you want to die young, then take communion without repentance. If you want to live long, just say, I repent. That's not hard. I believe you have all done that. So take and eat. Take the cup, blood of Jesus, and drink. As we have taken of this covenant blessing, may God remember his covenant for us. May he remember you and your household. May you be healed in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. May wholeness be restored to you and your household. May your struggles be over. May grief be over.
In Jesus' name.
May those who God has sent to help you bring you that help. And may you also be help to those God has assigned you to. May God make you Lord over many lands.
In Jesus' name.
May God make you Father over many kings. May God make your enemies to be at peace with you. May God make you head only and never tail. May God give you rulership and lordship in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you.